Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. That's right, a new addition to the Trumpet Daily that we make available to you every day on our website, thetrumpet.com/live. You can get to that, as I say, at the website. It's on at noon on the East Coast and at 9 a.m. every day, every morning on the West Coast of the United States. So if you like what you hear on this weekend edition, there's plenty more on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Besides our website, you can also get this program on CRN Digital Talk Radio. CRN distributes talk radio shows to 11 million homes all across this great nation. It's through cable television, broadcast radio, the internet, Roku, and other various platforms. So wherever you are, no doubt you can get to, somehow or another, you can get to the Trumpet Daily. You can also send us some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet, of course, is our website, thetrumpet.com. So you can send us a short email, a long email, some good feedback, some negative feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. Coming up on today's show, we're going to be talking a fair bit about the Arizona audit that's going on, that will resume, in fact, tomorrow. We're going to be talking about that here in the first segment. And also, later on in the show, for the Bible study segment, we'll be looking at the prophet Isaiah and his warning to the people of Israel in these last days. And by Israel, well, you've got to do some deep study into Herbert Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, to really and truly understand who that is in Bible prophecy. Who are the modern nations of Israel? Of course, little Israel in the Middle East is just biblical Judah. That's just the one tribe, the Jews. But what about the lost tribes? What about the 10 tribes of Israel? Where did they go? Well, Herbert Armstrong, of course, he tracks their movement in the United States and Britain in prophecy. And that's a book that went to over 6 million households during the 20th century. Herbert Armstrong's ministry, of course, spanned 50-some years. And so I mentioned our website, thetrumpet.com. We've got all kinds of books and booklets on there from my father and other writers at thetrumpet.com. But also, you've got just a wealth of knowledge from Herbert Armstrong and his ministry that takes you back decades to the 1950s and 60s and 70s and 80s. He died, of course, in 1986. So if some of you old-timers can remember the ministry of Herbert Armstrong, well, you've come to the right program, and you'll go to the right website if you visit thetrumpet.com. Speaking of the Trumpet, I just want to give you a quote from our latest issue. This is the July issue of the Trumpet magazine. Besides the website, we also send out a Trumpet magazine every single month. So if you haven't subscribed to the Trumpet yet, you can get to a subscription at our website, thetrumpet.com. And of course, the best thing about it is the Trumpet is free. There's no subscription price. We send it out. It's already been paid for. Your subscription price. Of course, it does cost money to print it and distribute it, but that has already been covered. This is a quote from the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. My father writes here, "It's practically an open secret that radical Democrats stole the 2020 United States presidential election." It says, "Polls show that over 70% of Republicans believe the election was stolen. A lot of Democrats also believe the election was stolen. I think many of them know it was." It says even official totals showed a record of 74.2 million people voted for President Donald Trump, nearly 5 million more than anyone in American history. And then he writes, "Yet somehow Joe Biden received 6 million more votes than that." Somehow he stayed in the basement all through the pandemic. He rarely came out of the basement to even attend a campaign rally. And of course, those campaign rallies, there were just a handful of people that even showed up. And you compare it to Donald Trump, tens of thousands, people lining up in their cars all across Arizona at one point. The basement candidate somehow, miraculously winning the election. And well, now that's coming under scrutiny. Some of those ballots and the machines that were used in places like Maricopa County. My father says here, this is from the Trumpet magazine, I do not know, listen to this bold prediction, I do not know how it all will happen, but I am convinced Donald Trump is going to regain the presidency. He says Bible prophecy foretells it. So that's what this program really offers you. It gives you God's perspective behind the news. And the news, I think you'll agree with me, I mean, it is chaotic. We're living in a nation right now that's on edge. We have never seen the United States quite like it is today, so deeply and bitterly divided. And it seems we just drift from one crisis to the next. So much chaos, so much confusion, so much unhappiness and misery, so much suffering, so much violence. So much fake news, as Donald Trump used to say. So many lies. So much deception. Your Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. That's in John 8 and verse 44. And in Ephesians 2, 2, it says he's the prince of the power of the air. He's just bombarding us with his attitudes. And look at the way people are behaving. If that doesn't convince you that there is a real spirit world, that there is a Satan the devil, that Satan the devil does exist, then, well, your head is buried in the sand. My father says Bible prophecy foretells it. Donald Trump coming back into office, that is. I'll just give you a bit from 2 Kings 14, just before I get into some of the news events and the clips that I have for you. It says in verse 26, for the Eternal saw the affliction of Israel. And again, I'll cut to the chase here. Israel primarily is the United States and Britain. And you can prove that in the United States and Britain in prophecy. Do you really think nations as large and as powerful as ours have been, the great British Empire, and then the United States, the single greatest superpower in the history of the world, do you really think that God would ignore them in Bible prophecy? Bible prophecy is for the last days. It's for the end time. Of course we're mentioned in prophecy. We're mentioned in dozens and dozens of prophecies. How could people just look at one tiny little people in this sliver of a state in the Middle East and say, well, yeah, all the references to Israel, Bible prophecy, it all has to do with them. That state didn't even exist until 1948. That was man-made. And as I say, it's one tribe, the tribe of Judah. That's really what they should have named it, the little Israeli state. Maybe that would have eliminated some confusion with respect to who and what Israel is today. Where are they? So there's this bitter affliction. The Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Eternal said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. And so as we've written in our Trumpet magazine and at the trumpet.com website, and as we've said over and again on this program, the Trumpet Daily, Donald Trump came in he was a Jeroboam type. He came along and he saved Israel temporarily, as we wrote back in 2018. Temporarily, he saved Israel from this radical Marxist movement, this communist infiltration, as Herbert Armstrong wrote about for many, many years. Those prophecies have been fulfilled. Well, then you had the election steal. You had this radical Marxist movement that knew they were going to lose. They knew they were going to lose big. And so they used the pandemic as a pretext to get these tens of millions of mail-in ballots. And how perfect is that in a time of fake, so much fake news, so much fakery, so much phoniness. And as it happens, there's a lot of fake ballots out there as well. They used that as a pretext, the sickness, COVID-19. They used it as a pretext to cheat. to cheat during the election. But my father writes in this article, in the latest Trumpet, he says, this isn't the end of the story. It says, now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did and his might, how he warred and how he recovered Damascus and Hamath, which belongs to Judah for Israel. And it says, are they not written in the book of Chronicles and so on? So the story continues. And we're now in the midst of this time where that Jeroboam administration has to recover what was lost or stolen. We're in the time of this warring, as it says there. It uses the word warring, how that he warred. He fought, he battled to win back what was rightfully his. And so for many months we heard over and again, just like on nonstop replay, the election was just perfect. The election was perfect all the way through. All the way through to, well, just recently. And now they're beginning to panic. All of these people that lied for months, that said there was no foul play, the ballots were perfect, the machines worked perfectly, nobody tampered with the machines, the software, nothing. Chris Krebs said it was the most perfect election in history. And meanwhile, look at what's happened. Aside from the election, look at how many cyber attacks there have been. Just since November 3rd, we had one recently with the Colonial Pipeline. Shut down. It shut down gas stations all along the East Coast because they were out of gas, out of fuel. Well, now this election recount goes on in Maricopa County, and you have a few courageous Republicans who are finally standing up for the truth and showing some fight. And every time that they take some action, every time they do something assertively, every time they go on the offensive, I mean, the reaction coming from the radical left, it triggers an angry outburst. We saw it a couple of weeks ago with Rachel Maddow on her program. And you know, one thing I've pointed out on the Daily Show that I have is that you have all of these The propaganda media, as I call them, they're panicking. They're in full meltdown mode over this audit in Arizona. And meanwhile, on the conservative side, really you don't have too many voices at all that are speaking up for the truth, that are fighting for the corruption to be uncovered, that are fighting for the wrong to be made right. Most have just surrendered to the mob, and they just want to move on. They want to move on because, well, the election, you know, it was Donald Trump on January 6th that had this speech, and then the so-called armed insurrection, which wasn't an armed insurrection. So let's just move on. Let them have the steel. There's not too many, I should say, who are willing to stand up and fight. Donald Trump, of course, he'll release his statements day in and day out. And, of course, he's watching closely what's happening in Arizona. And so are the propaganda media. They, too, are watching closely. Joe Scarborough, on Friday morning, he was in full meltdown mode over a recount of all things. And you have to wonder, as he explodes in anger, you have to wonder, what's he worried about? If it was so perfect, if Joe Biden won so easily, you would think you'd want another recount and then another one just so that you could rub their noses in it. But that's not the way he's reacted. He's angry. He's angry. And if you believe Donald Trump, if you believe that the election was stolen, he says you don't even belong in America. That's un-American. You should be replaced with the migrants that are just flowing into the country because of the wide open border. Listen to Joe Scarborough from Friday morning, clip 10.
If you don't have respect in American democracy anymore, if you don't respect Madisonian checks and balances, if your guy doesn't win, if that's the new rules of engagement for this great republic, then just leave our country because you're unworthy of it. get the facts, live in the light, follow the truth, and love this country and stop this. Or leave. Or leave. If you're going to believe a reality TV show host's lies about the American Republic.
If you believe Donald Trump, get out. Get out. Another way of saying it, if you don't agree with us, then you don't belong in this country. This comes from the same man who for five years was promoting the phony Trump-Russia hoax. And yet he's saying, if you're calling for election integrity in Arizona, you don't belong here. You need to be kicked out of the country. Move ahead to clip 16. Listen again to Scarborough from Friday.
They're desecrating American institutions. They're desecrating all the things that the American flag is a symbol of. So you will fight to the death for the symbol. You just won't give a damn for a second about the thing that symbol stands for.
So there he is, unhinged and angry, very much upset. And Mika there nodding along. She loves it. She loves the rant. And right beneath him, on the chyron below, it says, Arizona Secretary of State warns against using voting machines inspected in GOP audit. She's panicking too. You had the president of the Senate there in Arizona when she sent out the letter saying, look, there's some pretty serious irregularities here. This is Karen Fann's letter from a week and a half ago. And she said, look, we need a public hearing. We need to sort this out. The American people need answers. And how did the election officials respond? How did the state secretary of, the secretary of state, how did she respond? Katie Hobbs? They just, again, they went ballistic. They called for they didn't want to be a part of the public hearing. They called the news reporters to come in. They gave a press conference where they demanded that this audit stop. It's dangerous for the United States. Anyway, this chyron below where it talks about now the Secretary of State is coming out saying, I don't think we're going to be, we're not going to be able to use these machines. They're tampered with. They're vulnerable now. We didn't hear this a few months ago. Listen to this. It says Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, the state's chief elections officer, advised Maricopa County Thursday that it should replace all voting machines that were turned over to a private contractor for an audit of the 2020 presidential election, citing grave concerns regarding the security and integrity of the machines that makes them unusable for future elections. I mean, how rich is this? Democrats, they're suddenly concerned about election machine security. They certainly weren't concerned 3-4 months ago when they said to you, never mind, nothing to see here. The machines are perfect. You see, when they control the hardware, everything works perfect and there's no irregularities. Everything's totally secure. But the moment the opposition examines their machines, all of a sudden it's a massive security threat. The Washington Post, this is from, again, last Thursday. In her letter, Hobbs wrote that after the machines were handed over to the Senate and cyber ninjas, it is, quote, unclear what, if any, procedures were in place or followed to ensure physical security and proper chain of custody. She noted that no election official or observer was allowed to remain with the machines until cyber ninjas and its subcontractors examined them. And then it says here, it quotes her, the lack of physical security and transparency means we cannot be certain who accessed the voting equipment and what might have been done to them. This is the letter that she wrote to the election officials in Maricopa County. I mean, we don't know who saw the machines, who accessed the machines. So I guess we're just going to have to throw them all out, not examine them. not look at the software or maybe reformat some things. We've just got to get rid of the hardware of all things. Unbelievable. We can't allow some other people to come in and actually look at these machines. If they do, we've got to throw everything away. That's what the Secretary of State is saying in the state of Arizona. All of these machines, we were told, they're standalones. They're certainly not connected to the internet. So it was impossible, right? Impossible to hack them. It was impossible for any foul play through November 3rd. Now, all of a sudden, it's very possible for the machines and the software to be tampered with because, oh, the boogeyman's there, cyber ninjas. We can't have a third party counting or observing or examining or scrutinizing. And we certainly can't trust Republicans. It says here, Megan Gilbertson, a spokeswoman for the county elections department, said in a statement that the department was working with our attorneys on next steps, costs, and what will be needed to ensure only certified equipment is used in Maricopa County. And then it quotes her. It says, we will not use any of the return tabulation equipment unless the county, state, and vendor are confident that there is no malicious hardware or software installed on the devices. So for the last 6 months, they have repeatedly said, look, if it's not connected to the internet, it can't be hacked. So it's totally secure and safe. Now everything is unsecure. Everything is capable of being hacked. And so we've come full circle. On my daily show, I played clips back in February of this documentary. It's called Kill Chain. It was put out by HBO a little over a year ago. And on this documentary, you just had one expert after another, one Democrat after another, coming forward, testifying, going before the camera, saying, look, we can't rely on these machines. It's too easy for them to be tampered with. It's too easy for malfunctions. Hackers can get into them. And on this documentary, they had hackers that said, yeah, I was able to get in on these local elections over here or over there. It was no problem. No problem at all. And they were sounding the alarm. Prominent Democrat senators, congresspeople, sounding the alarm about these insecurities. And then November 3rd comes along and you don't hear a peep out of them. They've been insisting for 5-6 months now. It was perfect. It was perfect. That's all you need to know. Chris Krebs, he headed up CISA, the cybersecurity division of the DOJ, and he went on 60 Minutes and said, hey, it was perfect. It was so secure. The most secure election we've ever had. I don't have time to play a montage for you. All the experts and what they were saying about cybersecurity and how vulnerable we are if we put our faith in machines and software, in some cases made in other countries. All the experts were in agreement before November 3rd. Now they've gone missing. The Washington Post says the warning from Hobbs comes as election officials around the country contend with calls by Donald Trump supporters to launch their own Arizona-style reviews. And they're starting to do that. There was a ruling in Georgia just on Friday saying you could open up these absentee ballots and examine them. There's pushes for recounts there in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. That's why you're seeing the meltdowns, because they're being exposed. They're being exposed. Well, this article says they even went to Homeland Security to get advice. And yeah, Homeland Security says, yeah, go ahead and throw away the machines. Well, there's more I could get to, but I want to save some time for our study after the break. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. We'll be right back.
Is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history.
man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to The Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. As I said at the top of the show, you can get to the weekday version of this show every day at our website, thetrumpet.com/live. If you go to thetrumpet.com just a few minutes before the show starts, it's at 9 a.m. on the West Coast, noontime on the East Coast every weekday, Monday through Friday. If you go there a few minutes before the start of the show, there's a big banner there that says, listen to The Trumpet Daily or view The Trumpet Daily. It's actually on video, so you can, unlike over-the-air radio, you can actually see the studio and see yours truly and see some of the literature and things that I hold up to advertise from time to time. But however you get to it, you can get to it through that CRN Digital Talk Radio Network. You can obviously download these shows to your devices as well, audio only in some cases. So plenty of, we're on SoundCloud. There's all kinds of ways that you can get to this show besides the radio stations that we play it on. So we'd love for you to join our daily audience, The Trumpet Daily. Well, my father wrote, this is one of the free booklets that we offer at our website, Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet. And my father wrote in that booklet that I don't believe there's a single instance in the Bible where God sent a prophet to say, hey, you're doing great. You're all doing great. Everything's perfect. The fact that there is a prophet on the scene shows correction is necessary. That's why God sends one to warn. God sends prophets to warn his people, to tell them where they've drifted off course, to plead with them to get back on track. And in the case of Isaiah the prophet, I mentioned Ezekiel there, but Isaiah the prophet, I mean, he prophesied for God for 70 years through the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh. That's a lot of prophesying for God. And through all the reigns of those kings, he had an unpopular message that he had to deliver time and time again. And as you can see from the book of Isaiah, it's for the last days. We'll look at that a little bit later. But first, a little bit about the prophet himself. This is from Isaiah 6 and verse 1. It says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Eternal sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So this is probably about the beginning of Isaiah's ministry, probably the time when he became a great prophet of God. Verse 2 says, above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Eternal of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Notice, the whole earth is filled with his glory. God is coming back to this earth. Jesus Christ is about to return to this earth to solve the problems of this world. The problems that are just worsening. Look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1 sometime. Paul wrote about the last days, saying that dangerous times would come. Verse 4 says, "And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man." This is the prophet speaking. "Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I deal in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes," it says, "have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Notice the prophet Isaiah. He first confronted his own sins. He listed off his own filthy sins first and said, "Look, I'm unclean. What do you want to do with me? What can I possibly do to help you or to serve you in the work?" Verse 6 says, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, Lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." And so God jolted Isaiah first. God purged the prophet Isaiah first of his sins. And then notice verse 8. It says, "Also I heard the voice of the Eternal saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then said I," the prophet Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." Well, I'll go. I'll fulfill this responsibility. In verse 5, he had essentially said, "I don't want to go. I've got unclean lips. I've got too many sins and problems and faults." But now he was prepared to go because he went to God in order to do something about his own sins. If we're prepared to take that kind of a step in the direction of cleaning up our lives, purifying our hearts, then God can do a mighty and wondrous work through us. But we have to be able to confront our sins first. We've all got our filth. We've all got to come out of the evil. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 6. Revelation 18, of course, speaks of coming out of that Babylonian system. Verse 9, it says, "And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear you, indeed, but understand not, and see you, indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." This reveals, again, what the reaction nearly always will be to a warning coming from a prophet of God. There's not too many examples in the Bible, like with Jonah and Nineveh, where an entire nation or a city-state, people from one area en masse that just turn to God in repentance. That's rare. In most examples of Scripture, you have the people, the populace, rejecting the warning coming from the prophet. It says in verse 11, "Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without men, and the land be utterly desolate." So how long does this warning go out? And God said, "You just continue until I have to deal with them in this kind of forceful way." So much destruction. Jesus talked about great tribulation in the last days. That's in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Now, that was an end-time prophecy. You can read the first part of that chapter where the disciples said, "Tell us what's going to happen in the last days." And Jesus said there would be great tribulation, unlike anything this earth has ever seen. Could it be that bad? Could it really be much worse than World War II even? That's what we need to prepare ourselves for with respect to Isaiah's prophecy. I mentioned that verse that says it's for the last days. Isaiah 30 in verse 8, notice this one. It says, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. See, write this down in a book so that it can be canonized, so it can be preserved, so that it can be there for the last days. In the booklet, Isaiah's End Time Vision, I brought a copy here. If you would like to request your own free copy, again, all the literature that we offer is without cost or obligation. Just go to our website. Soon, I guess we could even make available a phone number. But if you'd like to just go to our website, thetrumpet.com, just look for the literature tab and then scroll down and find Isaiah's End Time Vision. You can see that booklet together with dozens and dozens of other booklets that we make available as well. A short quote from it. It says, so what is the main reason the book of Isaiah was put in the Bible? Because it was a message for the end time, for today, right now. That's why it was recorded. That's why it was preserved. That's why it was put into the Bible. Because it has a message for today. Notice what Isaiah said in verse 22 of chapter 41. This is Isaiah 41 and verse 22. It says, let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. So there's a former and then there's a latter end, as it says here. Even Isaiah, the prophet, understood that these many prophecies were primarily for the last days. In my father's article, Duality in Prophecy, he wrote, diligently, or rather diligent study, reveals the duality throughout the Bible. Most former events have a latter end. This is duality. This is duality. And you see this. It runs right through Scripture. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 said that all these things happened. He was talking about the Old Testament. You can see that in the first part of 1 Corinthians 10. And then he gets to verse 11 and he says, now all of these things happened unto them, ancient Israel, for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So it's for us, those of us living in the last days, those of us upon whom the ends of the world have come. We are living in the last days. You should have no doubt about that, just in looking at the world today. In Great Again, that's another wonderful book, by the way, that my father wrote three, four, 5 years ago. I guess, 5, 6 years ago, maybe. He says, God specifically says we need to look at former events and consider them if we are to understand the latter end of his prophecies. In other words, to understand prophecy for this end time, we must also study history, specifically Bible history. To understand prophecy, you see, we need that history, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10. At the top of the show, in the first segment, I went through that prophecy in 2 Kings 14. There's so much that we've been able to glean from that. That Jeroboam prophecy, the temporary, saving Israel temporarily. Notice Isaiah 46. This is verse 9. It says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. See, Bible prophecy is proof. Not only of God's existence, it's proof of God's authority. It proves the Word of God is true. 1/3 of your Bible is prophecy, and yet so many people, even in the world of traditional Christianity, they just want to dismiss it. They just want to say, oh, well, the prophecy part, that's for the kooks, the crackpots. The prophecy is what sheds light on the events of today that we're seeing happen in our nation and around the world with Russia and China and the Middle East. Of course, that's the powder keg. That's going to be the what triggers the tribulation that Jesus Christ spoke of. And then you got the reemergence of another Holy Roman Empire out of the heart of Europe. And then the decline of our nations, the United States, Britain. And you just see the nations of Israel coming under attack from every direction. It's surrender and weakness on display daily. And of course, Isaiah 3 even gets into that. And we'll have to cover that maybe in another program. I don't know, maybe I'll have a few minutes to delve into that in just a second. But look at Isaiah 1 and verse 2. This is right at the very beginning of the book, Isaiah's prophecy. And he says here, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Eternal has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Verse 3 says, "The ox knows his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider." I mean, that's pretty corrective. The ox knows his owner. The ox knows how to return to his farm or his farmer. But my people, my children, they won't make their way back to me, and I'm their father. They're the children. And I'm the father. I have brought up children. There were tens of thousands of people that were very familiar with Herbert Armstrong's message over radio, on television, back in the 1970s and 80s, even earlier than that. He was a pioneer in radio back in the 1930s and 40s. Touched the lives of tens of millions of people. Whatever happened to Herbert Armstrong? Whatever happened to his books, The United States and Britain in Prophecy or Mystery of the Ages? A lot of people knew all about it, but they've since fallen away from the truth. They've forsaken their God. God says, "I brought up children, and they rebelled against me." Verse 4 says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Eternal. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." They've forsaken the Eternal. They've gone away backward. They've followed as Exodus 23:2 says, they've followed a multitude after evil. They've just gone along with the crowd. They're following the mob. They're following the rebels instead of standing up for the truth, instead of fighting for what's right, instead of being purified like Isaiah was in chapter 6. They've just returned to the filth of this world, and there's so much of it. Again, how can you deny it? Look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 on your own time. It refers there to Satan the devil as the god of this world. How much do you hear that today? On radio or TV or otherwise, anything. Where do you hear it? There's evidence of it every day when you just turn on the news cycle. The corruption, the dishonesty, the evil, the disrespect, the hatred, the variance, all the things that Paul listed off in Galatians 5. This world is the way it is because of its God. As I say, read 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. To continue here in Isaiah 1, verse 5 says, "Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint." It says, "From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." Sickness from head to toe. God compares our entire society to the sickness that exists like a cancer from head to toe. That sickness, it's in the human mind. It's human nature. It's deceitful, desperately wicked, Jeremiah the prophet said. Paul said it was hostile. to God, antagonistic toward God's law. Verse 7, it says, your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. That's talking about fire and rioting coming to our cities. Have we seen some of that? We've gotten a bit of a foretaste of that over the past year. Lots of violence, lots of burning, lots of mayhem, lots of lawlessness. We've seen a breakdown of law and order. Isaiah prophesied of this. This is what happens when you remove law enforcement, or when you handcuff law enforcement, or when you defund law enforcement. The criminals get the upper hand. The criminals are given free rein. And God said it leads to a lot of desolation. Cities, in fact, burned with fire. Verse 8, it says, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, and as a besieged city. It says, except the Eternal of Hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have become as Sodom, and we should have been like Gomorrah. So, except for what God is doing with his very small remnant, the majority, it's very much like Sodom and Gomorrah. Now this, obviously, Sodom and Gomorrah, that was ancient history by this time, by the time Isaiah was even writing his book. So what's the prophet talking about? It's for the end time. It's for the last days, as I said earlier. It's addressing our nations today that are behaving like Sodom and Gomorrah of old. A land just full of iniquity, sin-laden, top to bottom, sickness from head to toe, as I read. Verse 10, it says, hear the word of the Eternal, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Listen, you rulers of Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen up, rulers. Listen up, leaders. Listen up, everyone. Herbert Armstrong wrote in The Missing Dimension in Sex, he said, since it's a basic truism that a solid family structure is the foundational bulwark of any stable and permanent society, this fact means only one thing. Civilization as we know it is on the way down and out unless that great unseen hand from someplace soon intervenes and saves today's sick society. Well, we can thank God that that hand is going to intervene. Jesus assured us of this in Matthew 24, that same prophecy, the Olivet prophecy. He said God would cut it short. If God didn't cut it short, well, you'd have human extinction. That's what Matthew 24 is saying. But God will intervene to set up and to establish his kingdom on this earth following the return, the spectacular return of Jesus Christ to the Mount of Olives, right there in Jerusalem. Look at Luke 17 on your own time, where Jesus talked about in the last days, it would be like the days of Noah just before the flood, and it would also be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, you better remember Lot's wife. She had to be dragged out of Sodom, but then she turned around and she longingly looked at this city that was going up in flames. God says, just forsake the ways of sin. Just leave it behind. Don't get caught up into it. Don't long for it. Make sure your heart is in serving God, not in worldliness and materialism. Isaiah 1, just a couple more verses here before we conclude. Isaiah 1 and verse 18, it says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Eternal. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come and reason together with God so that our sins can be purged, just like they were for Isaiah early on in his ministry. God, he said to God, I'm unclean. I have filthy lips. How can you use me? Well, God started cleaning up his life. He was compliant, of course, malleable. And he cleaned himself up with God's help. And then he did a great service for God. Then he served as a great prophet of God. And prophets, as I said at the start of this segment, prophets warn in love. Verse 19, it says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. It says, for the mouth of the Eternal has spoken it. See, God wants to give us the very, very best of everything. But as it says there in verse 19, we have to be willing and obedient. If we are, the blessings, the prosperity, the peace, the happiness, the joy that God will fill our hearts with, it will overflow. Again, to study further into this book, make sure that you request Isaiah's End Time Vision. We make this available to you at our website, thetrumpet.com. And of course, you can get to our daily broadcast of this program at thetrumpet.com/live. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. We'll see you next time.